I'm going to jump straight in, do the intro, and we'll go from here. All right, and we're on the off-road, on-air, live podcast here.
In the drone, man.
What are we recording on? We're recording on TikTok at the moment. This has got the best audio quality going out to you guys, and we've got
Mark
and Burnsy from
Yes
Off-Road. Here we go. Let's get straight into it. How are you, boys?
Yeah, not too bad, Tom. How about yourself?
Today was a crap day. I'm not going to lie. Was involved in another accident, but we pushed through and I got another beer and I'll be fine. Just work's a bit hectic.
Yeah, mate. You got to watch out for cars. They come out of nowhere, eh?
Yeah, absolutely they do. Andy, how are you?
What have you crashed now? I'm good, mate. What have you crashed now?
I was just at work and thought I'd do for a job. It was the person I was with crashed their car. So, oh, well. No good.
Not you. All good. Well, that brings us to our first topic.
Yeah.
Bring us to our first topic. We'll go with crashes and rollovers out in the woods. We'll call it remote rollovers. What do you do? How do you prepare for it? How do you avoid it?
I like that. And I would want to say this, Andy. When we first started doing this podcast, neither myself or Marley was involved in a rollover. And I'll see if I can find the old clip that basically you were talking about being in a rollover. And... Now we get it. Now we're on the other side.
I was literally listening to that video a few days ago, actually.
Yeah. It's pretty epic. Yeah.
It changes. Some people panic. Some people are cool, calm, and collected. There's no textbook on how to do it.
Some people just want their phone.
Yeah, we did get it.
That was my missus. She was like, "Where's my phone? I want my phone. Get out of the car. We don't know if it's going to keep rolling."
You find so much loose stuff that you didn't like. If you were to ask, or you were to tell someone what's in your car, there's a couple of bits and pieces. But you find absolutely everything that was in your car when it gets tipped upside down.
Yep. Stickers.
About $60 in loose change in Tom's car.
Pens. a large amount of loose car trim that just popped off the doors. Like, it's just really only sitting there with a semi amount of gravity. And the G-force in the side of the car just caused all this stuff to go haywire. I'm lucky I didn't break more glass just from the amount of stuff that avoided Marley's head. All of the recovery gear basically just piled onto him.
I saved the window, mate, with my noggin catching all the recovery shackles.
Yeah. All the shackles.
Yeah, luckily I got a fat noggin and we're all sweet.
Yeah.
Have you got a car barrier in the 80?
Yes. Yeah, I did. That was very lucky that I did have the car, the barrier in the back. In saying that, there wasn't that much in the back. I'd taken a lot of it out for me and Marley to have the car in the city itself. So even if there was a lot of stuff in there, there would have probably been an Esky, some pretty big items, some pretty heavy items in there that we're probably lucky that the cage was there. But in saying that, there was a lot of stuff on the passenger seat next to Marley that ended up in his face.
Pilot jacks are always a good one.
Oh, that would have sucked. I don't think my head would have stopped that.
I can understand why people put them on the outside of cars.
Yeah, same with the spare wheel. Like running big tyres, like a 37, they don't fit on the door anymore. So you chuck them in the back. And I've always been one to, you know, strap it down, like it's so it's not going anywhere when the car's upside down.
Yeah.
But yeah, some people put them in and be like, oh, it's right. It's not going to go anywhere. It can bounce around. It'll be right. But it's not until it's bouncing around because you're tumbling down a hill that it's not right anymore.
Yeah. And it's just like to minimize that, you just try and work out if you need it ready to go and grab some of that recovery gear. You're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. Because sometimes that recovery gear needs to be pretty quick within reach in that environment so you can grab it and ready to go.
And then yeah, in drawers in the back or all of it in a bag? And then the bag sort of tied to something.
I now know that I've seen you put the bag and you just put it underneath or clip it somehow to the headrest. So it's basically dangling there or tied somewhere that's out of the way that if the bag, if you tip the car, that it's still, the bag's locked in somewhere. So
yeah.
Still accessible, but it doesn't fly around.
I strap my bag, I chuck it in the center of the wheel in the back. So the wheel's laying down. Yep. Chuck the bag in the center of the wheel and I do a big X over the wheel and over the bag. And then you can sort of, you can unzip it and get a couple of things out if you need to without having removed the whole thing.
Yep.
Yes, it's all hindsight.
Yeah.
Mm.
It really does shake you. Like, that for that first few seconds of is this happening? Oh my god! Yep, nah, we're going over. Off we go. Yeah.
I think the words, the exact words were, "Oh fuck! Oh fuck! Shit!"
Yeah.
Bang. Okay. At least we didn't keep rolling, which was nice.
This is a good one from Della. He has said the middle on the back seat with the seatbelt on.
Yeah, so that's what you
get. Gear up in the middle of the back seat.
Use it to strap stuff down, like the recovery bag. That's decent. I'll definitely remember that one. Absolutely.
Mm.
Marley, what do you think we could have possibly better done to ill-sent to prepare as well?
To prepare, there's not much you can do. If a car's going to roll, it's going to roll. Yeah. If you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter how good of a driver you are. It doesn't matter what... you can roll in the simplest tracks, as I've seen before. And Andy could probably say the same thing. Like, the tracks we were doing all day, out of everything, I didn't think a tight switchback was going to be the place we were going to roll the 80 series, you know?
20 minutes from home after a big drive, about, I don't know, 8 hours on the track, and then 20 minutes from home on the way home. Yeah. Didn't think that was going to happen.
Well, and all it was just a lapse of judgment. We didn't notice that the boys did a turn, reverse back up, and then continue straight. We thought that you could hit that corner on the one big single turn, and it would just put us that 30 centimetres, 40 centimetres too close to the edge, and just that side gave way, and over we went.
My arrogant bravado in me going, if I did the turn again, I would have caught a corner out a little bit further on the left-hand side. I could have made that.
Pull the handbrake.
Just chuck it. Yeah, put the cutters on, take the inside. Yeah.
Yeah, rip the handbrake foot flat, opposite, and then back.
Oh, it was surreal. It was absolutely surreal to be in the car, and lucky we didn't, in fact, because I took a lot of stuff out of the car, which is probably a good thing that I did do that. A lot of tools I took out, or if I did take the tools out, I put them in the back, behind the cage as well, too, because there was still a lot of little junky stuff in the back as well, too, as I was cleaning it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, luckily we didn't have too much heavy stuff except for that recovery gear in the car. Everything else was just lightweight jumpers and just some stuff me and my partner picked up in the city, just driving around through the shops and stuff. So very lucky it wasn't a full setup of camping gear. That could have been smashed windows galore, but
yeah. All your stickers, Marley. I had all your stickers I picked up. I managed to save all but four stickers. I found four in the car when I was cleaning it out. I thought that was a pretty good result out of a 30 or 40 that I had.
Yep. Had all my Hot Wheels through the back of the car.
Yeah. Oh, did you get your Hot Wheels home?
Yeah, they didn't even ask about them.
Oh, good. That's good.
Yeah, got them all back home. A few of them had bent cards, but that's all right. Sometimes I take them out and I'll give them somewhere to display. Love collecting Hot Wheels.
You can iron them back flat, can't you?
I'm pretty sure if you leave something heavy on them, they should be sweet.
Yeah, that's it. Can you do like preventative stuff to prepare for such things? Like, I know we don't often talk about stuff like getting cages put in the cars and engineered in the cars, because like Roo's rollover only a few weeks later that happened just recently, like his car is literally set up for that kind of stuff. Andy, you want to talk a little bit more about the cages? Yeah.
Yeah, so you can't get A-pillar cages engineered anymore for road use. You used to be able to. The best thing you could probably do now is what they put in a lot of the mine spec cars, which is known as the ROPS, a rollover protected system. Yep. They just bolt. I bolt to the floor and catch the top seatbelt mount. Look, I know a lot of blokes that they don't plan on going and doing silly shit like we do, but they have their wife and kids in the car, and as you said, shit just happens, man. You could come around the corner and there'd be a cow standing in the middle of the road, and you just swerve by instincts and you swerve off the side of the cliff. Yep. And some of them cliffs are a bloody long way down.
Yeah. Someone could be coming, and there's just no room and the car physically forces you off. Yeah.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah. So, a cage definitely, is a good thing. Just making sure you got your seatbelt on. There's no loose stuff in the cab is the best thing you can do. And it's the same. Well, you drive around the street. You don't plan on rolling your car when you drive around the street. You put your seatbelt on before you go, don't you?
Yeah. There's really
The worst.
Yeah, go on.
The worst thing is when you get out of your car on a steep hill, and your seatbelt is attached and you can't get it back on.
Oh, yep.
You've got that little trick that you've told us before of what is it, the bread clip or the crocodile clip?
Yeah, bulldog clip. Yeah,
bulldog clip. Just to hold it there.
Yeah, I have two of them. Yeah, hooked to my sun visor, and that's what they're there for. Yeah, and it's not often you use them, and normally you'll get out the first time and be like, oh shit, I forgot to put that on, because you can't get yourself got back on.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's for me, it's worse for the kids, because I might get out to help you winch up a hill, and while I get out of the car, the kids will take their seatbelt off and try to reach in the back and grab a bag of chips or pick up their drink bottle off the floor or something. I'll come back down the hill and go, righto, kids, you ready to go? And they go, oh, hang on, I've got to put my seatbelt on. And the car, and you can't get it until the car gets level again. You're not getting it on.
No. Yeah. Just locks it in place. It's trying to do it. The seatbelt's just trying to do its job, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Yep. It knows the car's unstable.
In the aftermath as well, too, it was just pretty surreal in trying to get it through as well. I'm very, very lucky that I've got it all well protected and insured as well, too. I'm pretty happy about that, but I'd be much more happier if I didn't actually go a rollover in the first place. But just, yeah, can't afford to replace it. So just insure it.
That's it. Yeah, you got it, man.
Simple as that. It's the game we've got to play.
Right.
Marley, what was the rollover you had the week before we did the trip?
That was my mate's car.
Yeah, talk us through a little bit about that one.
Literally, as soon as we had yours, we get out of the car, and I'm just talking about how, like, I literally posted that YouTube video when I was on the – before I flew over, and then literally we get out there, sorted out all of our stuff, and then on the way back again, we roll another car. Bloody hell, you just can't get away from them. The cars just love laying down for me, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just like – I'm a car whisperer, mate. That one was not – I feel like it's a lot scarier in the car role that we were in because, you know, obviously we were in it, new place, far away from anywhere. I don't really know where we are, all that sort of stuff. So it's quite scary. With Darcy's rollover, it was quite scary as well because if that wheel picked up one more time, he would have just rolled all the way down the hill and head over. Very, very scary. But that's the silly games we play, mate.
Yep.
If you're not ready to win stupid prizes, then don't play the game.
And sometimes literally that's just what happens. That's it. And literally the week after that Andy posted all of my rollover, he had another one with the comp car and Rooster. Andy, is Roo all right?
Yeah, yeah. So we've rolled five different times in the one day.
Wow.
But as Marley's saying, that's the game that we play. Like we tip the car over, I climb out the window, we hook it to a tree, pull it back on its wheels, and we keep going. There was one where it went over onto its wheels. That's the picture of it in my background.
Yep.
Where it stayed upside down for a while, so we had to pull the plugs like we did with your car.
Yep.
But the rest of them, yeah, tip it on its side and pull it back on its wheels and keep going. Like the clock doesn't stop just because you're upside down.
Yeah.
But it's the difference between, you know, racing and social driving. Like a rollover social driving can be very the repercussions can be a lot more because you've normally got an esky full of beer on the back seat. You're not wearing helmets. You're not wearing harnesses.
Yeah.
You can't approach.
You don't have that 110% race safety gear on. And, yeah, you just got a little bit more casual items all strewn through the car as well. Yeah.
The thing I was so surprised about was how fast Andy and the boys were able to. They were just like, yep, happens all the time, pretty much, and just straight onto the winches. They had it back up within 10 minutes, not even. Like, obviously, it felt like to me, Tom and Emily, it felt like an hour that we were lying down there. But to be all honest, it would probably be about 15 minutes by the time that car was back up on the road.
Yeah.
The boys are just guns.
Mm-hmm. It was once Andy got back, and then it was the decision of like all the boys, like, do we want to save it? Are you happy for us to save it? It's like, yeah, no, I'm fine. I'm like, I would have been happy to leave the car there for the insurance claim, but we've got the tools there and we've got the ability to start it up and we can drive it home. It's just going to save us several hours of waiting for a truck or waiting for someone else to come and recover as well too. So we had the tools, we had the means, and we had the opportunity, so we took it, absolutely. Simple as that. So, and yeah, it was just the game we played that day as well too, but it was just coming home. A lot of it, I reckon, was just, yeah, bad judgment, bad timing. Simple as that.
Just tired, just a mixture of everything, really. Tired, long day, massive day, really.
Yeah.
All the different weather changes, the different terrains you're going through, the tyres, getting worn out, the driver getting worn out, engine getting a bit tired. Everything's keen on a bit of a rest in the next few minutes. So, and it just, the car wanted to have a lie down.
Yeah. Well, Andy's just said he's got a little bit bad reception, so he'll just leave it there. Andy, thank you very much. Catch you next one. Cheers, mate.
Love you, mate.
Yeah. Me and Marley will keep going for a little bit longer. And
I'm only getting everything.
And we're only getting every second word on the other side as well, too, Andy. We'll definitely flesh this video out. There's a lot more stuff to talk to you about, especially on your experience. But we'll keep on shooting on through. Yeah, it was for me and you, Marley. It was being in the car and just to have that thud, thud, slow. Bang! And then lucky that tree caught us, man. I think you said it about four times, and you are right every time. That tree bloody saved us. Absolutely, it did.
Yep, mate. If it wasn't for that bloody tree, we'd be still down the bottom of that canyon, I reckon. But that's just the card we got dealt, mate, and luckily it was a good card, eh?
Yeah, yeah. It was just surreal and epic. I'm really, really glad. And at the same time, I'm so sorry that you were there. If I had to go through it, I'm really glad it was with you, buddy. I'm really glad.
Tell you what, I made some good content, mate.
I think we had TikTok, especially TikTok, for about, I don't know, 2 or 3 days that pretty much anyone on the East Coast that was dealing anything with four-wheel drivings knew my car went over.
Yeah, yeah. Even quite a few of the boys up here knew about it. They said, did Tom's car roll? Did Tom's car roll? I'm like, oh, I can't say anything. Sorry, mate.
Yeah, it was like, oh, it's
confidential, mate.
my whole family thought there was something wrong with me because I didn't want to talk to them about it as well, too. And it was just like, I'm just, this is how I'm dealing with the accident and the devastation. I just want to just focus on literally releasing it as cool on content as I could. It was just that. It was just making sure that all the ducks lined up. And then when I let Andy rip on the videos, which he was itching for so long.
He was like a dog with three tails, mate. He was so keen to get that video out, eh?
Yeah, and I just needed to make sure everything was in place before on the insurance claim. So everything was A-OK and wonderful on that one. So I'm very, very happy how that turned out. We'll see how we go, Marley. We'll see how we go if the car comes back on the road. It's going to be I don't think it's going to be a difficult slog. It's mostly just a mental slog as well, too.
It's also, especially, I know a bit of your personal life, man. You've got a lot of personal commitments that you got going on at the moment, and you've got already three cars. You don't have very much time in between all that and social media and everything, but if anyone can do it, man, it's definitely you. I know you've got a few awesome ideas for what you want to do with the 80 series, so if any of those come out, people are going to be insane.
A lot of the stuff that I had planned over leading up to December was just going to be chill out content in the shed. To do a few little builds and stuff like that on, well, it was the 80 and the Hilux to do some install stuff, and then just do some cool little shed content, like with as I build my shed, literally, as you can see the photo behind me. Yes, it is a photo. It is coming along
very nicely.
Oh, man, I'm super happy how it's all coming across. Like, literally, I've got two couches down here. I'm really, really sad that you're in a different state because it's literally just like set up like a podcast lounge.
Perfect, man.
And I'm going to be basically starting on just some chats and just meeting some people and talking about their four-wheel drives. And now I've got an extra task of sourcing parts if I can and deal with it that way. If I have the time as well too. Now, in full disclosure, because like you said, a lot of those commitments, I have made a semi-promise to my missus because of the danger of the rollover, and I might not walk away one day or go to hospital or something like that. I've got a little bit shaken up. I've just got to take a few months off of the hardcore stuff. So it's just, yeah, I'm allowed to go out in the Hilux. I'm allowed to go out in the Padge, but they're not my hardcore cars. That's what the 80's for.
Well, that's the crazy thing, man. It wasn't even when we were doing anything super hardcore. It was the track back to the to Andy's campsite.
It was the track back 20 minutes away from home after literally eight hours of driving. And it, you can just put down to misjudgment on fatigue. You could easily.
Yep. That's all it was, man. It wasn't anyone's fault.
Yeah.
It's just a mixture of so many different things, and like I don't think we could have done anything really to have changed it, if you know what I mean. Like, no. If you could really go back, you can't really. There's nothing you can do in that moment to stop that car from rolling.
And at the same time, I wouldn't either. Like, to get the result that I've got now for that experience, I wouldn't trade it for the world as well. Too the growth that I've got, the bond that I've got with you now that you were in the roller with me.
Roll brothers,
and then having you there for the first time and going, hey, nice to finally see you in person. Heads up, we're gonna go in a rollover. Like that was pretty cool, man. That was just absolutely epic. And it just means I can just focus on just doing a little bit of high country light touring instead of the really tough stuff that I usually do. In saying that, there's the potential to put that car back together. And I'm just going to definitely do that next year.
Yep. I remember when my mum sort of heard about the rollover. She was like, you better not have been driving your mate's car when that happened. And I was like, don't worry, I luckily wasn't.
Oh, mate, I would have been absolutely no issued and phased if it was you that was responsible as well. The same outcome. The insurance covers for other people driving. It's what it's all there for. It's just whatever happens as well too. It would have been completely fine.
Yep.
That's why I do a lot of the tough stuff and a lot of the driving in the 80, because it is literally the sacrificial lamb. It'd be a different story if that was in the Hilux. So I'd be livid, man. To lose me dad's car.
Yep.
To lose me dad's ute to something like that, the car that I drive to work in, I'd be lost, absolutely lost. Like the insurance does not cover from what that car is worth, absolutely. Like there's a lot more mods on the Hilux than there are on the 80, surprise, surprise. But it would just, it would absolutely devastate me.
Yep. And as you just said before, man, how you wouldn't change how we crashed or anything like that. I'd say the same thing, because just so people can understand in context, if we were a meter further ahead, you and Emily would have been crushed up against a giant big white gum tree. And if we were a meter before, we would have missed the tree and rolled at least 4 or 5 times down the side of this hill. That's just like, I don't think people understand how bad that could have gone and how incredibly lucky we were for how well it did go.
Yeah. And it literally was that. Like, I didn't take in until we drove away, because we drove on that, and it was literally not too far away from the actual switchback. There was the second one, and we were literally 20 metres down to the next switchback, and then it came back again. We would have rolled almost all the way to that road. Like, it was, absolutely, crazy. Absolutely crazy. I'm glad that it ended the way that it did, and we're still here. And at this stage, the 80 is still not a write-off officially, so I can repair it. So
it's all a repairable write-off, which is the main part of the story. Everyone pretty survived. Much, it was an awesome recovery, and the 80 could possibly be a Frankenstein build and still live another day.
Well, that's even it. There's not much on there that needs to be replaced. Windscreen, that'll definitely need to be replaced. The top panel above the bonnet itself, and the quarter panel.
That's the best bit about the 80 series is the whole front end just comes apart. It's not like you're patrolling the whole guards and everything have to, they're all a one piece sort of build. The 80 series, everything can just come out.
And that's the thing. And like, it even has inner protection on a lot of those points as well, too, from breakage as well, too. So, and I don't think there's, I still don't think there's any A pillar damage. If it is, it's only moved less than 5 mil. Simple as that. It hasn't moved at all, really. It's just going to be a little bit of a time-consuming thing because all the projects that I've got going on. It'll get done. I might have to. I might do a build series on it. I don't know. See how we go. Wait. It might just magically be done, and I just like they release all the videos all at once.
That'd be pretty cool.
Just like, oh yeah, by the way, 80 series build, here it is.
Tom's magic school bus, mate.
That would actually be pretty cool to actually paint it like the magic school bus. That'd actually be pretty cool.
Are we still thinking a super tour, or are we going to go a fully fledged comp truck with it after what's happened?
It's going to go more comp spec for absolutely sure. Yeah. I think I need to incorporate some kind of reinforced bar on the roof, as in roof racking system, that also
like acts cage.
Kind of like a protection.
Yep.
Just an extra level of barrier of sacrificial part of the car. Instead of it cracking and crashing on the roof, it just wrecks the roll the roof rack system. So all you have to do is just have like a standard steel roof rack in, and you just have a few more join points where it can where it can join in. Instead of four, you put about six on them.
Proper exo cage.
Yeah, well, and it's, I hate them so much, but they're very practical to put a roof rack on a wagon. Yeah,
I reckon they look so sick. I reckon it looks like a proper zombie apocalypse car that you're gonna just go around and mow through everything with. Like you're gonna bust into a bank with that thing.
Absolutely. There's probably going to be a paint job in there as well. We'll see how we go. And who knows? There might be a few other things. I know I've already put the wheels on Marketplace.
The 35s.
If anyone wants some 35s, I got four 35s and a fifth 35, but it's just got a different dimension on the offset. So that's the spare. I'll get rid of them and it's got to be beadlocks next.
Beadlocks, really low pressures, low and slow.
Low pressures. You can do a lot more. I'm like, I've never had any issue with the wheel coming off the bead, but every time, I'm not kidding, every time I go out, there'd be a tiny bit of gravel or rock or something that'd get caught in the low pressure part of the bead. And it'd just work its way in, and it'd be just a slow leak through the bead. So you'd have to take it off, clean it off, pump it back up, get the bead sealed properly, and then off you go again. And I was sick of it. Every time I go out, at least two wheels would have a slow leak on it every time.
I loved it when I was down there. I was waking up, making sure I was getting up 15 minutes early to quickly chuck the air compressor on it before we drove it out.
Yes, yeah.
Because the tyre kept going all the way down to like 5 PSI overnight. I was like, shit, can't drive with it like that.
It was so frustrating. Like, in saying that, like, that tyre still haven't fixed it. There's no point. There's no point. I'll end up just trying to move them on. There'll be someone out there. Like, they've got 30% tread on them. I'll definitely buy the wheels and the tyres again. Absolutely. I'll probably try and see if I can chase up a brand new set maybe, and then I reckon I'll put them on beadlocks. It's just trying to find the right set of beadlocks.
I'd love to put them on 37s, but Queensland Police would not like it.
Yeah, I do like a little bit of touring still, and with the auto, the 35s are pushed to the limit on the heat.
Gearbox ratio and heat, yeah.
Yeah, the heat from the gearbox. When I'm on the highway at 100 Ks towing my camper trailer, the 35s are pushed to the limit, like with what the trans cooler can do as well too. So it's that's probably where I am. Like, I don't think I want to go any bigger.
Yep. Unless we go turbo and build gearbox.
Well, that's exact. When you go manualized gearbox, manualized automatic gearbox, yeah, to handle the absolute bap and a turbo, like Bella's set up as well too. So that's the thing. I don't know. Like the when you have nothing in on weight on the car, like we did have it set up, there was nothing in the back. There was only two passengers. We didn't even have like a full Esky, no camping gear. I've got no bar work except for the front bull bar. The car is extremely light and it just takes off.
Nose through it.
Yeah, it's just you play with your power to weight ratio. I can't really change that much of the power, but if I change the weight, I get a better figure. It's as simple as that.
Yeah. That was the crazy thing down there, yeah, is how Andy and all of his mates drive. Holy shit, I could not keep up with them to save my life, eh?
And
even, that's, even like, you were struggling, mate, and you were way faster than me. You made me look like I was riding a go-kart.
That's I've never driven with them before, and I'm glad they were taking it easy on me. But man, they were absolutely thumping it as well too. And the 80 was, I reckon the 80 was struggling on the engine wise. I could feel it. It was just like that. It was limmy bashing a fair bit to try.
I reckon it left limited for half the day. Eh?
Well, the 80 was very struggling to keep up with what they had underneath the bonnet as well too, and even the TD as well too. Like the TD pulls at those speeds easily as well. Like, and Andy's got that TD set up pretty nicely. Just, yeah.
Yes, we do have Ruby back on the road. Hopefully, I was going to take it to the Springs, and there's a concert going on at the Springs in the next few weekends. I was originally meant to be going to that, but now a friend has decided they want to do a surprise baby shower that weekend, so unfortunately, I won't be able to make it, but hopefully going to be going four-wheel driving soon. If not, my brother is keen on doing another tinny camping trip up in around Brisbane area, so that'll be a cool video as well.
Hell yeah. That's awesome. Marley, what else have you got on your content-wise that's going on as well too? Is there another video that's going to go up on the show or not yet or not at all?
I've got the Melbourne video, but it's really clunky at the moment, if you know what I mean. Like, I've got your videos, I've got my videos, but it all doesn't even with the Melbourne video, I felt like I was just so in the moment with everything because I've never been down to Melbourne and seen you guys.
Yeah.
We'll
have a chat after this and we'll see if we can maybe work something out. I might be able to help you. I very might be able to help you as well. We'll see how we go. I don't know what the hell's going on in my world because I'm literally just doing shed life stuff and making the 80 pretty. That was my plan. I've got all this stuff to make the 80 pretty. I mean, not the 80, the Hilux pretty. Because that was always planning on, like, dolling that up for the summer and changing a few things on that. So, I don't know. I've got a few things going on there. So, yeah.
Yep.
Maybe not on the 80 at the moment. And I'm loving driving the Padge, man. Now I'm not selling it for a long time. I'll hold on to the Padge to the end next year and make a call if I get rid of it next year or not. It's basically whether or not I need to get rid of it or not. And I'm at the moment, I don't need to get rid of it until next January. So I'll hold on till then and see how we go. It's such a fun car to drive, man. The little Padge.
It is so cool to see as well.
Oh, man, in retrospect, I probably should have given you that. You would have so much fun driving that around the city.
Could you imagine someone the size of me driving around in that little Mario Kart looking Mitsubishi? That would be so funny.
The seat doesn't go back that far, and when I'm sitting in it, I'm sitting up on the steering wheel as well. And I'm a tiny guy. It's just like, oh, man, it's like to put a few other people in the car would be quite funny. Rachel, your missus, hates it because it's just too restrictive and tiny. And the body roll on it is just wild.
That would be a bloody hilarious video, seeing Rooster in that and getting him to send it up some of the high country tracks. That would be pretty funny.
See Rooster in the Pajero.
Yeah, because he's like 6'4". He's huge. He's like a mountain man, mate. He looks like he's come out of the forest and he's just here.
He's got that Aussie lumberjack build. Yeah.
Yeah, he would be so funny to see in the Padge. I reckon that'd be an awesome video.
And it's not a big car either. Like, I would like to get the back seats installed, put the back seats back in it, and have it a little bit more as a family car. That'd be pretty funny.
And then I've got a few other little things that I'm thinking about for next year, for the YouTube and stuff like that. So I'm trying to decide. Me and Lindsay, who was a dude just on the live before.
I did see him, yep.
We're trying to decide between going a different style of route, because I don't just love four-wheel driving. I love everything to do with cars, camping, and everything like that, as you would know.
Absolutely.
And I'm thinking either – so my three picks are, I will either want to try and get a Falcon, an XR6 Turbo Falcon, and do a build project on that with Lindsay. Or we want to try and get a Nissan Patrol, GQ or GU Ute. And then we're going to turn that into a proper glasshouse send-off, twin-locked and everything, just like the cheapest build you can, and just the best four-wheel drive mods you can afford with under 10 grand.
Yeah, dude, definitely do GQ, man. Definitely.
Yep. Or we're going to buy a nice boat, and we're going to do a big trip up to Rockhampton and go do 2 weeks every couple of weeks, or just all around the Great Barrier Reef every few weeks and go fishing and stuff, because I'm really getting into my fishing now.
Yeah, like you could do easily 2 out of 3 of them quite easily. Yeah, I reckon the Ford or the sedan, or was it Ford Falcon or something?
Yep, the Falcon. Yeah,
honestly, that's probably my top pick, man. To get into the standard. I mean, we all love our four-wheel drives. To get back in the mainstream car culture would be awesome for you to show up as well to in a few other meets and an AU Falcon, man, or a BA. Absolutely. Do it. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking, because I've never been one to own fast cars. One of my mates said, I could never see you driving a fast car. I was like, you know what? I'm going to build a 600 horsepower Falcon or 700 horsepower Falcon, and we're going to do that in the next 2 to 3 years, I reckon.
It doesn't even have to be that. It's like if you could push 350 or 400, which is just – it's not even that much compared to what the NA barras and proto barras do. Like, that's – yeah.
Yeah,
do a sleeper. Buy one of the, what are they called? The Ford Territories with the barra in them as well. Yeah, too.
They've got the turbo barra in them as well.
Yeah, it's like you could just be like hidden as a mummy car, and then it's like, sorry, ladies, bump and just drop it at the traffic lights. It'd be awesome.
Yeah. That's what I'm pretty keen on doing. I really want to try and do a fast car build as well as the full drives. And eventually, the 5-year plan is the full drives, fast cars, boats, and maybe a camper trailer or something like that. And we're going to do a big trip around.
Yeah. Yep. Camper trailer it. Pack up the whole life and head them on.
I'll tell you what, mate, I'll be coming down to see you for a little bit. And hopefully we'll be able to put my 80 versus your 80 or something.
Absolutely, that'd be awesome. And we've still got to look forward to the Sydney four-wheel drive show next year as well, whenever that is.
Yep, that's the next trip.
That's going to be the next main meetup. And I still, at this point, am still officially pushing ahead with some form of Sunny Coast trip sometime in June, July next year as well.
Yep.
Absolutely. So, yeah.
Around the mid-year sort of thing.
Yeah. So, like, I always used to go up to Sunny Coast around June, July. I used to live up there and basically just go up and see a few other family members and friends always around June, July, just to escape that little bit of a cold snap that we have here in Vic. My mum and dad still do that all the time. and I'd be doing the same, and then just take, I don't know, one of the cars. I'll take the Padge, and then just road trip up there with the Pajero.
That'll be cool, man.
Send everyone else on the plane, and I'll just cruise up in the Padge.
Yeah, just low ride it.
Well, I did an actual calculations, put the decent, put the proper like road tires on it, and worked out that it almost gets about 10 to 11 litres per 100 through some really windy roads as well too. So I'll probably even get even better on highway too. So I'm like, that's touring spec numbers when you're talking that as well too. So I'm pretty proud of that. So I'll be able to chuff on through, and it won't cost me an arm and a leg like I would if I took that 80 or the Hilux fuel-wise as well too. So I'm pretty happy about that. So that's half the reason why I want to hold on to the Padge. It's just
nice on fuel.
Well, you can do some proper interstate, and all you have to have is your swag.
Interstate truck driver, mate.
And your Esky. That's it. Yeah. You got your swag and your Esky. That's all you need. Chuff on through. Absolutely. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, the Ruby is not an interstate sort of car, eh? 17.5 to 18.5 litres per 100.
That is the 80 series game, mate. Yeah. Pretty much. It's just basic figures. Physics, the bigger the car, the more fuel you have to pump to keep it going.
Yeah, it's miles per miles, mate.
That's the thing. I'm like, if you had the Falcon, you could road trip down here in that car.
That's another thing. You know James Longstaff as well, don't you?
Yeah.
I was telling him about in the next few months, I want to do a shitbox rally where we all go out with $500 or $1,000 and we got to buy and road register a car, and we got to put swags in it, and we got to try and see who can get the farthest without it breaking down.
Oh, man. I've always wanted to do like the old S-Box challenge and like literally a $500 budget. That would be awesome. That would be so cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Turdbox rally. I reckon that's the shout, man.
Yeah, absolutely. On saying that, Marley, I think we should wrap it all up. I'm looking at the time. We've probably been doing this for about 45, almost 50 minutes. And I'm getting text message after text messages of come and help.
Yep. Talking to you, mate. Feels like 10 minutes, eh?
Oh, mate, when I'm talking to you, I need to call you more on the phone in between these sessions just so we can have downloads instead of as well too. I'll give you a call before the weekend, absolutely. But I am Thomas. You can catch me on all my socials is either Food Wheel Driving on Facebook and Insta. On TikTok, I am Thomas John Freeman. On YouTube, I am Thomas John Freeman. Andy Burns was just here. He's not here anymore. You can get him on All Access Off-Road on all his channels. And Marley, my man, finish it off, buddy.
See you, guys. It's been Marley Grubby. You can find me on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube. Try and post fortnightly YouTube videos, weekly videos on TikTok, and fortnightly to weekly videos on Instagram as well. If you guys want to have a chat or try and meet up or anything like that, if anyone's in the Southeast Queensland region and you'd love to film a video with me, going camping, going bush, going fishing, hit me up. I would be keen as. And also, a quick shout out, Tom.
Yeah.
To Fuel Guzzler, which is an awesome brand from a dude down here in Southeast Queensland. He, if you guys love four-wheel drives, which I know you do, he makes a t-shirt or a jumper with the engine fully handmade and hand printed on the back of the t-shirts. He donates, I think it's 5 or 10% of all profits that he makes throughout the month, all to Men's Line and Men's Mental Health. So it's an awesome cause to get behind as well.
That is absolutely awesome as like a last little bit to the video as well too. Cheers, man. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Tom.